people push back. I mean, there's enough people that will not put up with this nonsense. If there's a virus in the EU, it's these crazy people.
I think there are a lot of people who are not awake yet who are primed to be awakened. I think there are lots of small business owners, local farmers and ranchers, people like that who, like, they see the brokenness.
We thought they were going to release this in 2028 or 2029, or surprise. It's here early, and so the dystopian future that we've been dreading is finally coming to the forefront.
So these crazy people, they want to put duct tape on your mouth and they want to lock up your money so that you are literally their slave. Sadly, most people really are unaware of this.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Up first, let's watch this video from Ursula von der Leyen.
And finally, it takes resilience. As technology evolves, we need to build up societal immunity around information manipulation. Because research has shown that pre-dunking is much more successful than debunking. Pre-bunking is basically the opposite of debunking. In short, prevention is preferable to cure. Perhaps if you think of information manipulation as a virus, instead of treating an infection once it has taken hold, that is debunking. It is much better to vaccinate so that the body is inoculated. Debunking is the same approach. Because disinformation relies on people passing it on to others. It is essential that people know what malign information's influence is and what the techniques are that are behind it. And as the knowledge goes up, our chances of being influenced goes down. And that builds up the society resilience that we will need.
Alrighty, so Ursula believes that free speech is a virus and censorship is the vaccine, and they need to start pre-bunking, getting out ahead of any sort of narratives that they don't want out in the wild. Tony, we've been talking about this sort of thing for a long time. What's your take?
Of course, man. This is their Christmas present this year to Europe. This is how they fight you. I mean, this is their desperate attempts to, push you in a specific direction, except, it's funny because lately the harder they try with this is, the bigger the fail. Their attempts are not going to work because everybody knows what's going, or at least more people know what's going on now. It's not like it's a big mystery anymore. And so people push back. I mean, there's enough people that will not put up with this nonsense. If there's a virus in the EU, it's these crazy people. I mean, who put them? They have no place talking the way they are, whether it's the EU or anywhere around the planet. These are not like the owners of humanity. These are the disease itself. No one should be paying attention to them. In fact, more effort should be done to remove them entirely from relevancy. And so as long as enough people keep pushing hard and, funding the development of the tools that makes fun of all their efforts, they will never win. And I'm very optimistic on the fact that all of this is in vain. Because again, there's a lot of European countries now that are, giving the EU the finger. We've seen it, whether it's the Czech Republic, whether it's Hungary, and I'm pretty sure others will follow because nobody needs this cancer in their life. And, it's just a matter of time before it completely blows up in their face.
Yeah, that's the irony here is they are the disease. The beautiful thing for us is that there is actually a vaccine that helps fight this disease, and it's Nostr, it's Bitcoin and self-custody, it's all of these open source VPNs and tools that are available and accessible for the everyday person, which I think is incredible. And I agree with you, Tony, we're going to win. Greer, what's your thought on this?
I was totally persuaded by this. I don't feel like I can trust my own thoughts and feelings. I need to outsource all of my thinking to someone like this because I really just can't handle being in the free world. It's too dangerous. And personally, I need someone, hopefully a bureaucrat or a politician, to help me shape my thoughts so that I can make sure I go out into the world being very safe, being very informed, and being protected from all forms of evil. I don't want to think for myself. I want to look to a politician who can tell me what I should believe. And so I was very encouraged by this, taking the contrarian take. And I think more bureaucrats standing up and helping us see what reality is, that's the answer, especially as we head into the new year. That's my resolution. I'm not going to do any thinking for myself.
So, Greer, I appreciate you doing all that you can to help us stay on YouTube and avoid censorship and being canceled. Okay, well, moving on. So, Christine Lagarde, another one of the trinity of evil people. We'll get to another one here in just a bit, I think. Simon Dixon says, a 2026 gift from the European Central Bank, CBDC. So, Christine Lagarde posted this video on the 24th, basically saying we want to roll out the CBDC much faster than we had previously planned. Greer, I think this is perfect for you, it sounds like. You can not think for yourself, and then you can use someone else's money.
Absolutely. This is a Christmas miracle. Yeah, we thought they were going to release this in 2028 or 2029, or surprise. It's here early, and so the dystopian future that we've been dreading is finally coming to the forefront. So it'll be interesting to see how this rolls out and who goes along with it. Obviously, you need to be independent and keep your money free from anyone like this who would decide what you can purchase. We've talked about it for a long time, and I think it's common knowledge now that there are certain things like meat, like beef, that they don't want you to purchase because it contributes to supposed climate change. And now they'll have the power to be able to shut off what you desire to purchase from the store. So, you know, the dystopian hellscape is coming into view, and maybe we should have predicted this, but it does appear to be coming a lot faster than we thought.
Tony, I would be curious, because you mentioned on the last story, you said, you know, more people are waking up. My base case for when a CBDC rolls out in whatever form or fashion, whether co-opting a stable coin or introducing their own new digital currency, is that the vast majority of people are going to adopt it, begin using it, and become reliant on it very quickly. Do you think that there's a chance that maybe I'm incorrect and a lot of people just push back on this?
No, you are correct. Most people have no idea what's going on. And so they will adopt this without even knowing what it is. You know, like they will tell them, okay, well, now instead of using this little card, you'll use that little card. And you have to, you know, create a digital ID in order to use it. And they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, and they'll just, you know, move along, you know, blindly without questioning anything until something goes wrong, right? I mean, at some point, you know, if they say or do the wrong thing and they can no longer buy something, they're going to put the dots together that this is because of this money. So these crazy people, they want to put duct tape on your mouth and they want to lock up your money so that you are literally their slave. And sadly, most people really are unaware of this. When I said earlier that a lot of people are waking up, I'm referring to, you know, those that are seeking like the sovereign lifestyle, those that are, you know, are aware of solutions like Bitcoin and self-custody and that are opting out. There's enough people waking up to ensure the success of these alternatives. And then at some point, the clueless sheep that are walking into this dystopian nightmare are finally going to see it, that the, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, and then they're going to do God knows what in order to get there. But by then, either it's going to be extremely expensive or outright impossible, because no one's going to want to, you know, give up or trade their freedom for anything these people have to offer, right? And so in a situation like this, where it's like you're like cornered, violence is usually how this, you know, like the result of this is usually very violent. And this is the part that I don't want to see, but that more and more increasingly, I believe, is going to become unavoidable at some point. So if you're still in a position where you can vote, you know, with your time and energy and your feet, you absolutely should be considering it, because otherwise, you know, you are walking into, you know, slavery. There's no polite way to put this or to sugarcoat it.
Completely agree. So the, I guess maybe the qualifier on my statement is, well, I think there are a lot of people who are not awake yet who are primed to be awakened. I think there are lots of small business owners, local farmers and ranchers, people like that who, like, they see the brokenness and they haven't put their finger on what exactly is causing it. But the minute they have to, it's like the people who, you know, resisted the vaccine in 2020. Those are the people who, like, there's going to be another wave of them who say, I don't want to sign up for this thing. Do this digital ID thing. This seems dystopian. They don't really understand why, but they just know it's wrong. Who suddenly you can go to and say, hey, will you accept Bitcoin as payment? And they're going to say, yeah, I don't, no digital ID, no CBDC. Absolutely. So it's going to be a smaller group than we'd like, I think, but it's going to continue to grow. Alrighty, so we've got the Shanghai silver prices soaring to a record $80 an ounce, now officially up over 150% year to date. China is facing a literal shortage of physical silver. Greer, actually, I'm going to kind of smush these two stories together because copper also soared to $12,000 a ton for the first time in history. So precious metals are just going, well, not precious metals, metals, commodities going crazy this year. Greer, you were talking about what's going on with silver. What's your thesis and understanding of this? And then let's bat it around.
Yeah, I think silver is going up for a different reason than some of the other metals. But I think the big story is that people are moving into hard assets because they see the supply chains breaking and they see the demand from large institutional technology. So we know that silver, it's required in electric cars and solar panels. And the likes of Samsung have purchased or done deals to purchase an entire silver mine in Mexico for about $7 million and finance that project. The supply chain for silver is broken. Physical delivery is mandatory. And the people who are selling paper silver don't have the physical product to be able to deliver. So that's why we're seeing this price. It's different than using silver as a hedge against the dollar. You could say that gold has really done that. And this year, Bitcoin hasn't done that, but I expect it to very soon. And I think what we're seeing is, or what we could see, is FOMO across retail into hard metals and away from some of the other investments that have been popular over the last year. And I think this will be a big deal as we hit some kind of recession or inflation checkpoint. And I think the people who have protected themselves with hard assets will be the beneficiaries. And I also expect that some of this increase is going to rotate into Bitcoin, the hardest of all of the hard assets. So, I think this is a little unexpected. The silver bugs have been talking about this for years. And that moment that they've really planned for is playing out right before us. And we are seeing, these ultimate all-time highs for silver. Maybe going a lot higher from here. So it remains to be seen. But I think the answer for any person is get into Bitcoin. It's the hardest of all the hard assets.
I think that's true. I my sense is that there is a genuine supply and demand dynamic that is pushing silver's price high and copper. Like, people need these tools to make products, and that's just part of the global economy. But there's so much paper out there, and we've talked about this with gold. 100 to 250 paper certificates per ounce of gold, and it just doesn't all actually exist in reality. Tony, what's your take?
I think people are just scrambling to what they understand and away from fiat. There's enough people doing this, which is causing all of these spikes, whether it's silver, whether it's copper, whether it's plywood, it's anything but just fiat worthless paper, right? So, and the first thing that people flock to is what they know. So it's not that, these are better than Bitcoin. It's because Bitcoin is something most folks to this day still don't fully comprehend. But I think that's going to change very, very rapidly, because, these are not sustainable solutions. Silver and copper, people are going to realize very quickly that these are not very good stores and value of value and definitely not mediums of exchange in any way, shape or form. So it's just part of the process, man. People react and then they think and then they react differently, right? So we're going to have to see it play out.
Absolutely. Alrighty, guys. California, we talked about this story a while back, but California has now passed a law where any crypto left untouched for 3 years can be legally seized by the state. This is, I think specific to exchanges and third-party custodians, that kind of thing. But basically, you need to take self-custody, is my long story short. Tony, what do you think about this?
This is great news, man. This is fantastic news. You know why? It's because it's going to force people to pay attention. It's going to force people to lose funds. It's going to force them to understand that these are not conspiracy theories or crazy people online, you know, sending messages of doom and gloom. This is exactly what we've been predicting because it's expected, right? How else are they're going to steal your funds? It's because you've left them in the hands of third-party custodians, which, again, at some point, I genuinely believe will be considered a form of mental illness. Self-custody has become a real option as of 2009. You simply have to learn 7 or 8 new steps and understand that now you can become the bank. It's not scary. You're not going to lose your money because you're doing it. It's just you learn something new. It becomes normal at some point in your everyday life, and you do it without thinking. And so those that are too lazy to pay attention or just don't want to bother, well, I hope they get their funds seized. Because again, it's going to take that level of, you know, of bad surprise for people to learn.
Well, I can't personally support any amount of government intervention in almost anything. So I hate it. Although I agree with you, Tony, a lot of people are going to wake up. So there might be a positive externality here to a government action, which is very rare. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, I echo what you guys said. I would not have thought that the slogan for California would be not your keys, not your coins. But here it is. So if you live in California, you get the other slogan as well, which is have fun staying poor. You know, California being this based on Bitcoin is great. You know, all the work that we've done on Bitcoin Twitter to tell people not your keys, not your coins. You know, we've just been overshadowed by this law in California. So I agree. This will be great, you know, in sort of a sarcastic and dark way. You should get your coins off the exchange. If you don't hold them, they're not yours. Don't trust a custodian. And we've learned this the hard way as Bitcoiners for the past, you know, several years. I mean, really, since Bitcoin's existence. So if you don't own it, it's not yours.
Greer, I like this version of you, extra cynical and sarcastic coming off the Christmas holiday.
This is the best free marketing, man, for Bitcoin in self-custody. You couldn't have asked for a better headline.
100%. Alrighty, guys. Darth Powell says, just so I understand, the green thinks they're going to retire selling all their inflated assets to the red. And so he shared a chart of wealth by generation. And basically, if you look at it, it's boomers and silent generation folks have a disproportionate amount of the wealth. And they're hoping that Gen X and the millennials who own cumulatively less than half of the wealth are going to just purchase their overpriced homes and their overpriced gold and their overpriced everything. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. Hopefully, it's more of an inheritance play and they just pass these assets off to the next generation because I don't think they're selling them. But Greer, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I've seen stats that say the boomers at large do not plan to pass their assets down to the next generation. They want to spend it all. So I think that this chart misses that fact. I think it's the younger generations, millennials, that intend to pass their assets and even Gen Z to a greater degree to their kids if they can ever afford to have them. But I think you're making a great point here. It's, you know, this is like playing the game of Monopoly where the older brother has all of the properties and you just go around trying to collect your $200 and stay out of jail and stop paying rent to that person. You know, this is the point where the game isn't really fun anymore and somebody flips it over and, you know, runs and tells mom. So what does that look like in the real world? I don't know, but I don't think that the boomers are going to be selling this stuff. I think they're going to be spending as much as they can.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a correction back to something more sane over time because the demand just isn't there at the prices that or at the current price levels for almost anything. Tony, what do you think?
Man, I think there's a very big disconnect between the realities of boomers and that of millennials. I mean, boomers growing up, I mean, the system was, you know, was relatively working fine for them, right? And so they got older, they build their wealth, they have their savings. And so their version of reality is not that rigged Ponzi chessboard that the younger generation are, you know, were painfully realizing, right? So, because if they did understand this, you'd see something like Bitcoin become 20 million like 5 years ago, right? But because there's just this massive disconnect, they're not paying attention. They don't care. You know, life's good for them. They can't be bothered, right? And so this is where I, this is what I attribute, you know, to why it's taking so long for something so crystal clear, obvious to anyone doing basic math, like Bitcoin. Why is that the answer? And why it's such a mystery, why these people simply don't get it. And I think that could, you know, very well explain it. Millennials understand that chessboard is rigged, and they are doing, like, they're warriors now. Like, they're literally fighting for their lives in order to build a future, to secure a future, to have a future. And so these people are not going to be built the same way as the current boomers. And once these boomers are gone, hopefully the next generation, you know, will not allow for this nonsense to exist anymore, right? So this is what I'm hoping Bitcoin solves, at least partially, during our lifetime. And I have a good feeling it will, man.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Alrighty, guys, Dollar Tree. So for those who are not familiar with Dollar Tree, it's a discount store here in the U.S. in particular. They revealed that of the 3 million new households that shopped in its stores in the third quarter, roughly 60% of them earned more than $100,000 a year. In other words, the folks who we've historically thought of as, you know, being well off, having a high income, are shopping at discount stores because even the Walmarts and the Costcos aren't cutting it for them. This is just a symptom of fiat, in my view. Tony, take it away.
Well, it's because at some point, again, you have to start filling that bucket, you know, faster than it's draining at the bottom. And at some point, you're just going to lose steam and you're not going to be able to keep up, no matter where you think you are on the financial scale, right? You have got to opt out of this worthless Ponzi. The dollar is not a way to store wealth. It's, you know, it's worthless paper, and it's being debased at such a fast rate now that was what was once considered high income is now practically at the poverty line. And that's insane.
Yeah, you're scraping by. $100,000. It's like people who talk about saving $1 million for retirement. Like it doesn't cut it any longer, and it's no different with $100,000 income. Six figures just isn't what it used to be. Greer.
Yeah, this is the sad reality, you know. And you can look at what the president might say, and he might say that the economy is booming and everybody's happy. But the truth is that real Americans are struggling, and they're going to Dollar Tree because they need the essentials. And unfortunately, they're getting a lower quality. And that means that life is more difficult. And I associate a lot of shame and humility with this. You know, we don't want this for our fellow countrymen. You know, we want Americans to feel like they are getting ahead. And this is just evidence that what we're being told to isn't true. The economy isn't fine. We know that the asset prices are increasing, as we've talked about today. But when it comes down to real people who are trying to provide for their families, those are the ones getting hit the hardest, and they're making sacrifices. So I think that we need a completely different solution than the one we've been given. And does this continue into the next year? I think it does.
So Greer, on that topic, because you talked about the economy that we have. So GDP is up 4.2%. This is a Trump post, I think, on Truth Social. And he's bragging about how great the economy is doing. GDP is up. The stock market, you know, is going to make sense again. It's going to go up on good news and down on bad news. And he says he's obviously been hunting for a new Fed chair. He says, anybody that disagrees with me will never be the Fed chairman. So sounds a bit tone deaf to me. If you would like to take that one first, Greer, and elaborate on your thoughts.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the point here. You know, if you don't agree with Trump, then you're wrong and you'll never have an opinion in his administration. So, you know, I believe that he's desperate for a win. You know, he came in with a lot of expectations. He had all of the support. And through disappointment and, you know, redactions of his administration over and over, I think he's made his voters wish they had done something different or will definitely change their opinion the next time they get a chance to visit the ballot box. So, you know, I think Trump is looking at the Fed as sort of the linchpin of his administration. If he can get rates lower, if he can get the housing market moving, if he can extend more loans to small businesses, you know, they can do a little bit before the inevitable inflation kicks in 12 to 18 months. You know, he printed $4 to $6 trillion during the first 5 years of 2020. And I think that we're going to see record amounts of printing. This is all just a sugar high. You know, the economy is fundamentally broken. And I think there will be a reckoning at some point. And I look at this post, and to me, it just reeks of desperation. Nobody believes him anymore. Nobody pays attention. He has to go on TV every other day with a big announcement that turns out to be some kind of benefit for the prescription drug makers. You know, in my opinion, his administration is totally adrift, totally clueless, and not connected to what people are thinking and feeling day to day.
Tony, I'd be interested, not that you're watching a lot of mainstream news outlets, but what's the view from abroad? Are people talking about this?
People are feeling this, man, whether it's in the U.S. or in any other country. The legacy system is dead. It's finished. I mean, there's no way to fix something that's decayed to this point, right? But the sad thing is that a lot of folks still base their financial decisions on politicians and governments, thinking, you know, that they're all on the same side, on the same team. These people live in a whole different universe, man. They don't think about, you know, the average citizen. They don't care whether you live or die, whether you have savings or not. It doesn't really matter to them. And so all of this, you know, hoopla that you hear about every other day is just garbage, man. It's just like they're just throwing things at you, like, you know, acts in a circus, hoping, you know, something will make someone happy, gives them a vote, you know, and that they can push the can down a little bit longer. There's no solution in this world anymore. It's finished. And, you know, for those that are paying attention, they've already started to walk in a different direction. And the sad thing is most people are still stuck in that same doom loop, right? Like voting left, voting right, hoping something will change. And at some point, man, both sides are going to run out of options. And then, you know, it'll be what it'll be. And that's the scenario that terrifies me the most.
So, Tony, you're hitting on sort of my theme of 2025 as I've talked politics with people, which I don't do particularly often, is that basically what government does is, regardless of administration, is they throw you a bone often enough to make you feel like you're getting something for the vote that you gave them. And with Trump, it's been like, I think it was fantastic. He freed Ross, like he delivered, but that was a pretty easy thing for him to do. It didn't cost him anything. He took out men and women's sports, like, okay, great, great. He, you know, like there are a few of these things that he's done that everyone rallies around him and cheers for. But at the end of the day, those are just bones. Like they're not the substance that we need to have a better economy, to have a thriving world, for people to get ahead for the work that they do. And I agree with Greer. This just feels like another one of those moments and one of desperation as well. Okay, guys, so Klaus Schwab is back. He stepped down as chairman of the WEF, but he went on to speak in a conference in China, and he said that in order to drive the, quote, fourth industrial revolution forward, elites must aggressively drive their agenda home. So he's the architect of the Great Reset. He has in recent years said that he sees a transition into a new age where there will be a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological dimensions in a, quote, new world. This guy is like the ultimate supervillain in my mind. Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts on Klaus Schwab.
This guy is sick in the head, man. These people are sick, sick people. The fact that he mentions the elites, like as if like these people own the world, is already, you know, the biggest red flag that everyone should be focusing on. There is no elites, my friend. You know, you don't own anything except, you know, your immediate inner circle. And the fact that, you know, you're trying to like enslave the entire population here is not going to work, because too many people understand the game now. Too many options exist to resist. And the more you push with this nonsense, the more the resistance will grow, right? I mean, there's a lot more intelligent people that are putting out tools into this world. First of all, there is a new money that no living soul can manipulate or corrupt anymore. And it's Bitcoin in self-custody. Every day, thousands understand this, and every day, thousands adopt it. And so I don't see this slowing down at all. And the more dystopian the world gets, the harder the push towards these solutions. So this is a war between decentralization and centralization. And, you know, as a betting man, you can pretty much guess where I'm putting my chips, right? The world, the centralized model is finished. It might work for a little while for some people, but it's definitely not going to work for a lot more people going forward, now that there is a real viable option that people can peacefully opt into.
Agreed. The only justification that you can make for the existence of the WEF or really any government is that you have to, as an individual, draw an arbitrary line that you define in the sand to say, this is how much control I want another human being to have over me. And to me, the solution is to just throw them out, ignore them, opt out completely, and continue with your life in a self-sovereign manner. Greer, what do you think about Klaus?
I don't know about you guys, but I will not be fusing my digital, physical, and biological body together in some kind of transhumanist future that he imagines. I'm happy to just remain human, just pure flesh and blood. That's enough for me. You know, so I think, you know, when he left the WEF, we thought maybe he'd go away into the shadows. But here he is, like the killer in a horror movie, popping up for one last scare. And, I think this whole movement of melding man and machine is a major mistake. I think that the people who engage in this will live to regret it. And I think, yes, it'll be the elites first who try to live forever and hold on to their billions and trillions. But I think just being a regular old human is good enough for me. So I will fight to do everything I can to resist.
I love it. All righty, guys, let's watch this last video here and see what he says.
Please fucking tell me how nobody else is talking about AGI. Nobody. I have friends in very high up places, very, very high up places, okay? Not connected to one another. To give you perspective, one of my friends has had lunch with practically every president, okay? Very good friends with directors of three-letter agencies. The other one is training these agencies, okay? Both give me a phone call the other day and they go, hey, buddy. I'm like, what's up? They're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. What's up? Well, we're here to ruin your day, Marcel, because we think AGI is going to be done in 6 months. AI safety is so shit that if AGI comes out in 6 months, let me paint a picture for you, baby. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Power grid goes out. Pentagon predicts 94% of the population dead if the power grid goes out within 30 days. Now, let's just say you're part of the 6%. You live on a farm or some shit. AI, and this is fucking Grok. Go talk to Grok AI and ask it what would happen in this scenario, okay? Grok AI says it would literally use our drones, our fucking missiles, nukes, whatever the fuck it wants. Think about Terminator, okay? Judgment Day, 2029. This is happening before then. It's crazy. We're all gonna get fucked. And there's only one way to fix this. Everybody talks about it and slows these goddamn companies down. They're racing against one another to end the fucking world. Please share this. It's not even a fucking joke.
All righty, guys. So, artificial general intelligence, is it coming in the next 6 months? Greer, I want to hear your thoughts first because I want Tony to get to, he's the AI man here. I would love to hear him end this thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to get closer and closer to AGI. Maybe it happens in 6 months. And if his prediction is correct, then, you know, then all bets are off the table. So I think it remains to be seen this really coming into practice. But I do know that there's a lot of effort. I mean, we all know it, right? This is what all of the countries are racing to be able to be the first one to develop. They want to create the superhuman intelligence. Consequences be damned.
Tony, what do you think? Is this going to end humanity as we know it?
I don't know, man. But what I can tell you is that the tools available to one side are also available to the other side. And so, you know, this is, again, the war between, you know, good versus evil. And there's a lot of folks that are not going to just wither away, right? And I'm more hopeful on the side of good, you know, outliving these crazy lunatics out there. The genie's out of the bottle, man. This is not going away. And so how it plays out is anybody's guess. I mean, nobody has a crystal ball. But, you know, you can put any amazing, you know, tool, you know, out in the world, some folks are going to use it to make, you know, incredible things. And there's always going to be an idiot who's going to try to ruin it for everybody else, right? This is no different. And so I don't think we're all going to die. I think we are walking into a world, though, that is going to be exceptionally different from anything we've ever known. You have free money, decentralized money, which we've never had before. And now you've got, you know, AI, decentralized AI, you know, uncontrollable AI that is also available to 8 billion people. And so what kind of world we build, well, that depends on us, right? Like if there's more good, then it'll be a great world. And if there's more bad, well, you know, it'll be a roller coaster until hopefully enough bad people wither away and the good ones remain. But either way, you live and die like a free human being, right? For me, this is what matters most. No one's going to control what I say or do. No one's going to control my money anymore. So whether, you know, I'm here or not, you can always say that Tony lived free.
Well said. I think it's easy for people to probably accuse us even of being doomers because we talk about these stories. At the end of the day, I'm hopeful because, like I said early on, we have the tools to fight against it. The key is not to get caught up in the hype of what could happen, but to take action on the things you can control today. It's self-custody. It's learning to defend yourself. It's, you know, engaging with the people in your community, you know, buying locally, all of those things. So, yeah, don't be a doomer. Just stay focused on yourself. Guys, that's a good place to wrap up. Thanks for tuning in, for everyone listening. Really appreciate you being here. Stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help. And Greer, Tony, great chatting with you. Glad you guys had a good Christmas, and we will talk again very soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.